Well, let me add my hello to David's. It's great to see you this afternoon at Fairhaven Church. I really feel honored to be able to have a little part in this series called Leave and Cleave. It's been a great series. We've been getting calls and hearing from people in the office over the past 5 weeks, and people have made significant decisions in their own lives and in their marriages about their relationships and those things. And you're going to hear some great stories in the weeks to come out of this series, and so we're really excited about it. Just to kind of rehearse and make sure we kind of know where we've been, let me give you some of the weeks past and what the points were. In week number one, you remember David said that the secret of marriage is for you to do for your spouse what Jesus has done for you. Remember that? Then in the second week, David talked about the single greatest problem in marriage. Do you remember what that problem was? Self-centeredness. And then in the third week, David said that the purpose of marriage is to make us holy, not necessarily to make us happy. And then last week, Jared did a super job talking about the husband's responsibility in marriage to love your wife sacrificially with a discerning love, a love that learns and grows around the wife, and then finally a selfless love. And so today we're going to look at the companion passage in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to learn what the singular responsibility of the wife's is in a healthy marriage, which is submission. Submission. And I counted up the letters to that word, in that word, and there are 10 of them. Because the truth is, if you listen to our society, submission really is a four-letter word. And it's easy to see as we look at things happening around us. Watch this short video.
I should talk about this a little bit ago. One of the former stars of the sitcom favorite Full House, Candace Cameron Bure, says she is a proud, submissive wife. And that's the word that's getting all kinds of attention. ABC's Abby Boudreau has the story.
Actress Candace Cameron Bure is probably best known for her role as DJ Tanner on Full House.
Can you write me a note to get me out of college?
Now she's revealing that one of the secrets behind her 17-year marriage is being a submissive wife.
Listen, I love that my man is a leader.
She sat down with Huffington Post Live to explain.
The definition that I'm using with the word submissive is the biblical definition of that. So it is meekness. It is not weakness. Meek is having its strength under control. It is bridled strength.
In her new book, Balancing It All, My Story of Juggling Priorities and Purpose, she writes, I am not a passive person, but I choose to fall into a more submissive role in our relationship. And goes on to explain, don't think for a second that I get walked all over. I don't.
Obviously, I will make my opinion very clear. And clearly, I have been married for 17 years, and we have a very happy marriage, and it works very well. So I trust my husband.
The submissive role can be a healthy choice as long as that's something that you're personally okay with.
Bure recently sat down with GMA to talk about the challenges of achieving a healthy work-life balance in her marriage.
How do I not lose myself in who I was created to be without neglecting being a role model and a wonderful mom and investing in my children and encouraging my husband?
Bure believes the word submissive should not be so controversial.
I use that word, but I feel like it's taken so strongly when I'm kind of like, everyone just calm down.
For Good Morning America, Abby Boudreau, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Well, I'm with her. I think everybody should just calm down, right? Just calm down and talk about this word. I mean, this Christian actress has been so criticized by all of the media outlets, women's media outlets. And why? I mean, because what she is saying cuts against the grain of the modern view of women. In fact, there were about 300 people that responded to that video on the website, and one view that was representative of many of them was this. The problem is that idiotic view will influence her kids into believing it is a normal relationship. Any woman who chooses to allow her husband to lead her in life is a disgrace to the gender. Wow. And yet that's the day in which we live. I mean, that's the day in which a Christian woman is called to live out her Christian faith in the marriage relationship. It's a view, submission is a view that's been used successfully in marriage for thousands of years. And yet today, it's deemed idiotic and disgraceful. So the environment is a tough environment to be a godly husband or a godly wife. So that brings us to the passage. If you have your Bibles, let's go again to Ephesians chapter 5, which we've been looking at for a number of weeks. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." The days are evil. "Therefore, live carefully, live wisely, take great care in your marriage, husbands, take great care in your marriage, wives." It's interesting that Paul's preceding this passage about marriage with a warning that it's going to be difficult to live godly lives in the marriage relationship in the world in which we live. And that's probably more true today than it's ever been. And so it's really critical that we get this, that we understand what a biblical marriage looks like, not only for the men, as we talked about last week, but this week as we talk about the wife's responsibility. And so, let's look again at what we read for the husbands and the wives, beginning in verse 22. "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." Husbands, I want to read this again because these two are inseparable responsibilities. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." As I said, Jared did a great job last week talking to the husbands. This week is the wife's turn, the wife's responsibility, and it's very simply stated in verses 22 and 23. "Wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord." The Greek word for submit is hupotasso, and it means to subject to. It means to arrange under or to subordinate. It really was a Greek Greek military term that was used to arrange the troops under the control, under the leadership of the general. Submit means to arrange yourself under the leadership of another, in this case, your husband. And yet, in no way is Paul implying here that there's any difference in equality or worth. In fact, I want to explore that idea of equality because I think that's at the foundation of why so many people resist the concept of submission. It's that fear that somehow they're being deemed inferior. It's a big part of that fear. Paul's not implying that wives are inferior to husbands. Now granted, if you look at the history of the day, you'll see that the Greeks and the Romans and even the Jews had a very low view of women. But Christianity changed all of that. If you read Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, you'll see this: "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, but for you all are one in Christ Jesus. All are one in Christ Jesus. There's a level playing field. We're all on the same level. There's no hierarchy between men and women. Men are equal to men. Women are equal to men in every sense of value and dignity. I could show you four or five books in the New Testament where Paul recognizes his partnership with different women in the gospel. 10 different women he names specifically, affirming and valuing their contribution, their ministry. We could go through the book of Acts, and I could show you the ministries of Lydia and Dorcas, Mary, the mother of John, and the daughters of Philip, several others. And so very clearly, with respect to God and within the kingdom of God, men and women are equal. And so submission is not a question of equality. It's a question of arrangement, of order. Submission is a voluntary response to God's will, a willingness to give up your rights to someone else, in this case, your husband. Now, I thought it would be helpful for you to hear from some other women on this topic of submission. So this week, I sat down with seven women who are on staff here at Fairhaven Church and just had a dialogue with them about submission, what it looks like, what it means to them, and how it works in their relationship. Take a listen.
Submission is actually yielding or surrendering. And so for me in marriage, it is first being obedient to God's blueprint for marriage. He gave us that blueprint in Genesis, and we are both created equal. However, He gave each of us different roles.
It is about living beyond yourself, and it is the whole attitude of not needing to be first, not needing to be most important.
I think a big blessing when you're living out in your marriage this idea of the husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church and the wife submitting to the husband, it works.
If a husband feels your respect and love, that only increases their love and respect for you, and then they want to, you know, serve you well.
When you look at a marriage, you can't have two people in charge. If you've got two people that are constantly fighting for control, wanting to be the leader, you know, nothing gets done, and it's a constant state of animosity.
We are one, and we really believe strongly when we made a commitment before God, we entered into a covenant with God.
Submission is a choice, and love is a choice every day. It's not easy every day. It's not like every day that Ryan comes home from work, I'm like, hey, we're best buds. You know, sometimes we're best friends, and sometimes I have to say, okay, it's my job and my responsibility to respect him and to be best friends with him. And so if you decide to have the right attitude, then God will use that. But if you just say, hey, I'm going to go with how I feel today, and today I'm not feeling it, then it's not going to work.
It's awesome. I really enjoyed them just speaking to me about submission off the cuff, and we're going to hear from them a couple more times through this message. So how do we look at this idea of submission? I'm going to do it through asking three different questions, three questions about submission. Number one, why should I submit? Why should a wife submit to her husband? Secondly, how do I submit? What does that look like? How would you describe submission in a marriage relationship from the wife's perspective? And then thirdly, what if I submit? What happens? What is the impact or the result of a submissive wife? So follow with me here. Here's the first question. Why should I submit? And we read it in that passage in verse 23. Because the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And I think we'd all agree with that. We'd all agree that Christ is the head of the church, that he is our head, he is our Lord and our Savior. We're joined to him. We're the bride of Christ, and he is the leader. He has responsibility. He is the head of the church. But the Bible says that the husband has a comparable or a similar role in leading and being responsible for the wife, to care for her, to love her, to nurture her, to sacrifice for her, to provide for her. You see, the husband has a sobering responsibility in the marriage relationship. So many things that he is to do that exemplify Christ's love for the church. I mean, Kay asked me this week, she says, so what are you getting out of this study of submission? What are you learning? Or, you know, what is that like for you this week? And I said, well, it's not that I'm really learning anything new, but the more I look at this idea of submission in marriage, the more I feel the gravity of my responsibility to love you in a way that makes it easy for you to submit, to give you an environment of love as Jesus loves the church, where you want to submit. We want to work together in a pattern that will glorify God. In fact, if you walked out of here last week, if you guys walked out of here last week without this sense of gravity of your responsibility to love your wife as Christ loves the church, then you really were not listening. And so there's this ordained order in marriage that provides an environment where a wife can flourish under the shelter of protection and care of the husband. And when we follow it, when we follow that pattern, we're going to be so much closer to the goal of marriage, which is oneness. Oneness. We've looked at Genesis chapter 2 several times in this series. In that chapter, it says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. They become one flesh. They become one flesh. And so the second reason for submitting, why we should submit, is because Christ-like love on the part of the husband and godly submission on the part of the wife leads to oneness in marriage. The two become one flesh. Their lives are bound together with God. You remember the verse that many of us probably read in our marriage ceremonies from Ecclesiastes. It says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So that's the goal of marriage, oneness. And the husband doing his part and the wife doing her part leads to that oneness. That's why a wife is to submit. And so we have a second question this afternoon. How do I submit? What does submission look like? And again, in order to just broaden our view on what that looks like in the marriage relationship, let's listen again to some of the staff wives.
Well, I think submission is more about an attitude than an action, because the reality is I'm submitting to God first and foremost.
It's the same relationship of giving the reins of control over to God for your life. I trust God with that, and the same applies to my husband.
What it doesn't mean is that Steve is greater, I'm the lesser, he makes all the decisions, I just follow. To me, submission is me acknowledging that he's the head of our home, as I think God ordained that, and being willing to let him lead.
I have a voice in that my husband hears me. I had to learn how to hear my husband and not be thinking of my response.
It's a great deal of trust, not only in him, but trusting in his relationship with God. Because if he's got that kind of a relationship with God where he's submitting, then I don't need to be concerned about submitting to him.
When you talk about submission, it's a two-way street. If you look at the verses in the Bible that talk about submitting, it also talks about the husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church. And if you have one person not kind of living up to their end of the deal, it's probably not going to work the way it's supposed to.
Well, let's think about how it's supposed to work. Let's think about a good picture of submission. So you have your Bibles or your devices. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, the first five verses give us a wonderful picture of what submission really looks like in a marriage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Let me read them. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves." So I think in those five verses, there's some real pictures of submission that we can learn from. The first one is alluded to in the first couple of verses, and it's this: submission that's redemptive. Submission that's redemptive. You see, submission has the power to redeem a bad situation. That's what Peter is saying in that verse. Maybe a situation where the husband doesn't love the wife as Christ loves the church. Or maybe isn't the leader in the home that he should be. Or maybe not even a Christ follower at all. You see, the truth is, I know that talking about submission in a room this size, there are wives here that are in bad situations. Their husband isn't walking with God and isn't loving as Christ loves and isn't the leader in the home. It's difficult to submit. But see, the truth is, every wife has to choose whether they're going to be a God-centered wife or a husband-centered wife. In other words, are you going to follow God's blueprint for marriage and his blueprint for you as a wife, or are you going to use your husband's failures as an excuse to ignore God's blueprint for your marriage? You see, a God-centered wife will adopt an attitude of respect and submission, even in a difficult situation. But who knows? As Peter says there in that chapter, who's to say that a fresh attitude and a fresh disposition or demonstration of submission won't win you the husband that you always wanted? James chapter 2, verse 3 says, "We all stumble in many ways." And isn't that the truth? We all stumble in many ways. Maybe more so in marriage than any other place in life. But we don't love our wives as Christ loved the church because they're perfect or because they meet all of our needs or live up to all of our expectations. And the same is true for the wife. The wife doesn't submit to her husband because he's perfect and he meets all of their needs and exceeds all their expectations. Submission flows out of love and obedience to God because we want to please God. We desire to please him over everything else. You see, that can be powerful in marriage. The passage also describes submission as pure and reverent. Pure and reverent. You see, it flows from a beauty that's within. I love what Peter says there, that the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, that flows from within the wife, and that's captivating to the husband. It's easy to love a wife with that kind of a beautiful spirit. Pure and reverent submission that can't be faulted. Peter talks about a faultless, blameless kind of life, meaning that the wife is pursuing God and pursuing her own personal holiness. And in the context of that godliness flows submission. It's easy to love as Christ loved the church when that's present. Pure and reverent submission that's gentle and authentic, Peter says. It's a humble disposition, a calm submission that Peter says is precious in the sight of God. And I think we see also in that passage a sacred submission. It's in the verse that says, "For this is the way the holy women of the past put their hope in God. This is the way they adorned themselves." You see, anything that we do in our lives because of Christ, because of God in our life, that's something sacred. That's something that honors God. And a wife's ability to submit to her husband is a measure of her own holiness. It's a measure of her own trust in God that he's present in her life and he'll work through her submission and work in the marriage relationship. It's sacred submission. You know, before we leave this idea of how, what submission looks like in a marriage, I want to just give you three qualifiers about submission. Here's the first: submission is to your husband. That was clear in the Ephesians passage. Your husband. Paul is not saying that we're to submit to all men, that somehow in the workplace or other places, women are to be in submission to men. It's not what they're saying at all. It's in your marriage, in your home, to your husband. And it says that submission is all-inclusive. Again, the Ephesian passage says, in everything. So when a wife says, well, I'm willing to submit in this area, but this area, no, I'm going to control that, then that's not really submission. And yet, thirdly, submission is not an absolute. If a husband should ask a wife to do something or to endure something that's ungodly and unbiblical and violates a godly conscience, then she has every right to refuse. Submission is strength under control. Well, let's ask ourselves the third question. What if I submit? What's the result or the impact? What will we see in our marriage if I submit? What will I see in my own life? Well, first of all, verse 4 of that Peter passage says, God is pleased with you. It's of great worth in the sight of God. You'll honor and glorify God as you submit to your husband. Secondly, as is true anytime we obey God, anytime we employ His word in our lives and we follow what it says, we're going to grow. The wife is going to grow in godliness and spiritual maturity. That always happens. And then lastly, your marriage will have its best chance for success, for fulfillment. I love an illustration that I read in a book this week by Cynthia Held, a book called Loving Your Husband. Listen to what she says about her own experience with submission. She says, many years ago, I heard someone ask the question, do you know what makes a leader? And the answer was simple, a follower, a follower. When I examined my life, independent as I was, I found myself running ahead of my husband, Jack, and running ahead of the Lord. I was not allowing Jack to lead or giving him the support and respect he needed to be the head of our home. Some ways I tended to show disrespect for him were to challenge his decisions and more often than not, to strongly offer my own alternatives. I would interrupt and correct him in front of others, especially in front of the children. In my effort to inspire him to be his very best, I would give him my lecture entitled, Whatever You Do, It's Just Not Good Enough. He could be home more. He could spend more time with the kids. He could read more. He could be more sensitive. He could be more spiritual. But I never let him understand that that was enough. One day it dawned on me that I was not Jack's personal Holy Spirit. My job was to respect him and to fulfill my God-given role in our marriage. I was not given Jack to redo him, but to compliment him. When I finally became aware of the log in my eye, I was able to back off and begin to give him time and encouragement to lead. He then, slowly but confidently, became the head of our home. My respect for Jack was necessary to free him to be the husband and father he was meant to be. I wonder how many times that story might be repeated, even in our own homes, represented here. So let's hear one last time from the ladies about the impact of submission in their own experience, in their own marriages.
I think the result has been a stronger marriage. I mean, we're more of a partnership, you know, and I think some people think, well, those can't coexist. You can't, one person can't be submitting to the other and still have a partnership. But we very much do.
It pleases God. And I have reaped blessings in my relationship with God and also in relationship with my husband.
What it looks like in a marriage is allowing your husband to be the leader that God intended. And, you know, it's part of that overall plan for marriage.
Submission is only something you can do through God's help. I think especially in our culture, so oftentimes I have to be reminded, you know, you're the helpmate. What can you do to encourage Ryan? And for me, that's definitely prayer.
A lot of it has to do in view of how you see yourself in Christ and rather than what our culture says to us as women.
It's easy to think of submit as a negative, and we need to not think of it as a negative word, but think of it as a positive word, because ultimately It is a marriage strengthener. It's a marriage builder.
And so as you go along in this journey of learning to submit, you realize how much each time you're accepting of that, that you grow.
I love what Judy said, that submission is a marriage builder. It's a marriage builder. See, the truth is, there's no one perfect model of submission, what that's going to look like in your home and in your relationship. You know, each husband and wife brings dynamics to the relationship that'll be unique. And so neither me nor anybody else can tell you exactly how that's going to look for you. But what I hope is that as Jared spoke about the husband's responsibility to love as Christ loves the church, and as we've talked this afternoon about the woman's responsibility, the wife's responsibility to submit out of respect and devotion to Christ, that there'll be a conversation. You'll have the ability as a husband and wife to come around this issue and see, how is this working in our relationship? How is this working in our marriage? And some great value can come out of that. I read a lot of books this week, a lot of books written by women for women. And there were two books that I thought were especially helpful. One was called Love and Respect, and the other one was called For Women Only, although I confess that I read it anyway. And both of those books I've put out at Common Ground. If you want some help in really, you know, dissecting this in your own marriage, I'd encourage you to pick up one of those books. So perhaps a final thought. Submission begins with an attitude, a willingness to submit. It has the power to redeem a bad situation, to please and honor God, to make you a more godly and mature Christian woman, and to bring oneness and blessing to your marriage. So may God bless you, wives, as you seek to live out God's blueprint for you and for your marriage. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is truth, and we humble ourselves before it. As husbands, we're just so impressed with our responsibility to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And as wives, there is this tremendous responsibility to submit to our husbands as unto the Lord. And so, Lord, we acknowledge that we live in days that are evil. There are so many pressures working against marriages today to act in unbiblical ways and to relate to one another in ways that are destructive even. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd give us wisdom to see your word come alive in our own lives and in our own marriages, that you might be honored and that you might be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.